Okay.
Well, good evening. Again, my name is Matt. Feel free to come up and talk to me during the week if you don't know me yet, and just say hi, and I'll be real nice. I know a lot of speakers like to start out with telling a joke, so I'm going to start out telling a joke. And it is, do you know where it talks about tennis in the Bible?
Where?
Do you know? Where Joseph served in Pharaoh's courts. So, speaking of serving, this week's theme of our camp is serving, and our motto there is "I serve because He first served me," and that is the whole idea behind Christian service. We are Christians, and the reason that we serve is because God served us. He created us in His image, and He created us to be servants. And so we serve because He served us. So tonight I want to get you all thinking about service. I'm not going to jump even into Christian service. I'm just talking about service in general. Service and serving. All right? So in bare minimum, to serve is to do an action, perform an action that helps another person, right? I serve you, I do something for you, and it's good for you. It's not for me, because we call that self-serving, and self-serving is typically considered bad. No, serving is towards someone else. So I'm going to need your help with this. Give me some examples of ways that you have been served today. And I know you hear that word "serve," you probably think restaurants and stuff, but really, anytime somebody's done something for you today.
We had breakfast at Maria's.
Yeah, we did.
Got served.
By the waitresses at Maria's.
Foods.
Mm-hmm. What else? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most of you probably are not old enough to drive yourselves here, so.
Wrong. Hey, I should be.
Some of you just shouldn't be driving. What else? What other ways have people done something for you today? You didn't do it for yourself, either because they were just being nice or because. Yeah.
I was emptying out my backpack earlier at school in English class, and I was going to stand up and dump it into the trash, and the girl, I'm pretty sure her name is Lexi, the blonde chick, she just walks up and is like, "I got you, bro," and threw it all away. I was like, "All right."
Excellent, yeah. So so for these examples, why did those people do what they did for you?
Because she was throwing stuff away.
So she was just
opportunistic,
taking an opportunity to help you out. Why did they serve you at Maria's?
It was their job.
Exactly, they were getting paid for it. Yeah. Why did you get a ride today? Why did they do that?
They liked me.
Okay. There's lots of different reasons that people serve one another. Okay. So now, follow-up question. Might be a little harder, but I'm sure you can do it. Who did you serve today? At some point.
I made some burgers at McDonald's.
Absolutely. You served probably a ton of customers today. Hey, you know, did any of your lives intersect with someone else today that you did something for them? Yeah. Excellent. Why did you do that?
Because I know that's like their favorite snack, and I just want a bag of them at the store and I don't like them.
And so you were just trying to lighten the mood and make people happy? Excellent. What else? How did you guys do something for someone else today?
Helped a
helped a friend study?
Yeah.
Excellent. Good. And because they're your friend?
Yeah, and because I didn't want them to fail their Navi test.
Okay.
Win so much money to someone that needed it.
Okay. Why? Everyone wants to eat lunch, but why did you give him money? Alright, okay. Every one of us is constantly benefiting from the service of someone else. Do you ever think about that? I think most of the time, the people who serve us, we don't even see them. When you go to a restaurant, it's pretty obviously because they come up and introduce themselves and they're trying to get a nice tip. But a lot of the stuff that we benefit from is from people who we never even see, we may not even know. So as an example, let's talk about this camp. At the topmost layer, you young folks are benefiting from the staff who's here today, obviously. But a layer below that, you have the permanent staff who keeps this place running the rest of the year. They keep the place clean, that sort of stuff. But then a layer below that is all the people who have filled those positions all the way back since the founding of the camp. And there were the people who initially came and cleared out the land and built the buildings and raised the money. There's a whole network of people that have been taking care of this camp and making sure that it's here for us tonight that we are benefiting from. And in addition to that, there's the people who supply electricity to this camp. They have nothing to do with Quaker Haven. They're part of the power company. But they put up lines. They ship coal from wherever coal comes from. Probably trees. And they pick it and then they put it in baskets. And then they give it to a guy and he puts it on a truck and he brings it and they put it in the coal. Your school, and you think about all the people, like your school probably was founded 100 years ago, and people have been keeping that up. Your church is probably really old. The clothes that you're wearing, 99% of the clothes in this country aren't made from America, and aren't made in America. And so you got people in other country making clothes, you get people shipping clothes, selling them here to a company. A company is full of executives and lawyers and all those kinds of people who put them into stores. The stores are open and built and run by all these people. The point is that all the time we are the recipients of this huge network of service. I personally, in my day job, I make apps for phones. For example, last Christmas I made the Build-A-Bear app, the Merry Mission app, where you can your little reindeer and you fly around and. I don't get to choose what I work on.
I think you do.
in my case, I'm just midway up that network. You know, there's people, there's Build-A-Bear, and then they came to me and my company, and then my company came to me and said, make this app, and then I made the app, and then I handed it off to Build-A-Bear, and then Build-A-Bear hands it off to you or whoever. And so on and so forth. So again, I'm just playing a part in the big network of service that this whole world operates on. There's a man named Thomas Thwaites. Not the Thomas Thwaites you're thinking of, who was the counselor of the Exchequer in 1492. I'm talking about Thomas Thwaites, the guy who, a few years ago, he was at school, and this was in London, but we're going to pretend like it's in America to help you understand what I'm talking about. And so he was in America at school, and he decided for his project, for his final project, he was going to make a toaster from scratch. And so the first thing he did is that he took $5 and he just walked down to the store and plunked $5 on a counter, and the guy hands him a toaster, And he takes it home, and he unboxes it, and he disassembles it, because he's like, I'm going to take the cheapest toaster at the store, because it's got to be the simplest toaster, obviously. And he disassembles it, and he's like, I'm going to recreate this. And he took it apart. There's hundreds of parts made from dozens of materials. And he's like, okay, actually, I can't make this. This is really complicated. He's like, so he narrowed it down to just like five components, which was steel, copper, plastic, magnesium, something else. Anyway, he just five simple components. And so he calls up the local steel mine or iron mine or whatever, and they don't actually mine there anymore. They're a museum, but he's like, can I come and get some iron anyway? And I'm like, sure, come on down. So they take him in, and he brings like just suitcases, like travel suitcases, and fills up his suitcases full of these big heavy rocks of iron ore, takes them home, takes an oil drum, puts a bunch of fire in it, and smelts this stuff down, gets himself some steel, and then he needs copper. So he calls up the local copper mine. They're also closed. But they say, yeah, come on over. And to get the copper, he had to fill up jugs full of water from the mine and then take it home, and he had to put electrodes in it, and the electricity attracted the copper molecules. And then he was able to scrape off enough copper to make the wires for the toaster. And then he needed plastic, and he called up BP, and he said, hey, can I come dig some oil out of the ground? And they never called him back. And so he's like, well, I still need plastic. And he read online, well, you can actually make plastic from potatoes. So he starts making plastic from potatoes, and then like some bugs get into it and eat his toaster. And so he's like, all right, I got to have plastic. And he's like, aha, I've got an idea. He said, people have been throwing away their plastic bottles for years, and it has become part of the rocks and the ground that we walk on. And so he called up like a local dumpster kind of, they call it landfill, and he's like, hey, can I come mine some plastic? And they said, sure. And so he came with his little pickaxe, and he chipped out some plastic out of the ground and took it home and melted it down. And then, you know, he's trying to do this as simply as possible. No help from anyone. And so he took a big stump of wood, and he carved the shape of a toaster out of it, and carved another piece that would sit on top of it. And then he poured plastic all over the mold that he's had, and he set it on there, and he took it off the next morning, and there's kind of what looks like a toaster. And he took all of his pieces, and he assembled them together, and he turned it on, and for about 5 seconds, it toasted. And he said, yes, I did it. But here's the thing. Here's the point of that story. I'll show you the picture. I almost forgot the picture. That was his toaster. That's actually it.
I'll use that.
And the reason that the plug looks so funny is because you've been imagining this was in America the whole time, but that's what plugs look like in Great Britain. They're big and weird. So that was his toaster, and it really toasted for like 5 seconds, and It's not like it melted. That was just kind of his mold. He kind of missed a spot with the plastic. And so that's why there's kind of like a window on the side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Do what you can for 5 seconds. So the point of this story is it took him 9 months and $1,500 to make that, which only worked for 5 seconds. Point I'm trying to get at is, for $5 and a planet full of people serving one another, he was able to have something better than what took him 9 months and $1,500, travel expenses and all that kind of stuff. So our society is as good as it is because we are a society that serves one another. Think about the opposite. Think about a society where no one serves anyone. No one does anything to help another person. What do you think that would look like? No one's helping anyone. What does that society look like?
Cold.
What's that?
Cold.
Cold? Both in what way?
as in interaction between each other. It's just it's all about me. So it's
mm-hmm. not, so. Absolutely. It would also be cold because there's no electricity.
Right.
What else? What would this world look like when no one does anything for anyone else?
Be very independent.
Yes. Everyone would have to be very independent. You can't go to someone asking for help because they'll just say no. There's a good chance you don't have much of a language even to ask them.
Hunger Games.
Huh? Hunger Games. Hunger Games? Yeah. Even in Hunger Games, though, you had people like looking out for each other. But I guess, yeah, in the competition, sure.
Yeah.
You probably you wouldn't have clothes. You'd have to figure out, hey, I'm cold. I better find something to cover myself with. Maybe leaves, maybe this animal I killed.
Mm-hmm.
Chaos, yeah, absolutely. You get hungry real fast. There'd be nobody to provide food for you. No houses to live in.
No babies.
Huh?
So no McDonald's.
No McDonald's, no place to work, no place to serve others.
Man, we wouldn't have bacon. That's just messed up.
It'd be a pretty awful world to live in. In fact, if we're really going to the furthest definition, you know, you'd probably, a mother would give birth and just abandon her child, right? Because, exactly. Yes, that's exactly right. You see, because humans, they're completely helpless when they're born. Some animals can make it on their own as soon as they're born, but not humans. Humans need care for a lot of time. The reason that world sounds so alien and so broken is because God created us to serve one another. He created us to be in families and in communities. He created us to show love and to help each other out. It is His nature, and we were created in His image. And so that's why that description of that world is just so foreign and so alien to us. And that's one of the reasons, that's one of the problems I have with the whole idea of survival of the fittest. It's because that's not who we are. That's not in our nature. And that's a world that ends in chaos and destruction. Our world is a world where people help each other out and love each other. So as you leave tonight, I want you to think about the part that you play in this world. I want you to think about all the people who serve you, the people who have made your clothes and your food, the people who keep your school open, not just the teachers, but the janitors and everything. I want you to start to think about all the serving that's going on in the world, and then I want you to ask yourself, am I primarily someone who just takes the benefit of everyone else's service, or do I try and serve these people? Am I one of the people that causes my teacher to hit snooze and throw the blankets over her head in the morning, or am I one of the people that causes my teacher to hop out of bed and be excited that she's on her way? And the same thing, even same thing for the janitor. You know, right? You know, are you someone who's constantly making messes and constantly making more work for your school janitor? I want you to think about the effect that you're having on the people who serve around you, and I want you to think about: do you stimulate people to serve more by who you are and by what you do? Do you get people excited about when they serve you, or do you cause them to dread it? Because the more we can stimulate and activate the people around us who are trying to serve us, the better off our whole society is going to be. So I just want to, as we go tonight, we're going to break up into our groups, and during that time and even after that time, just think about the role that you play and whether you're going to be someone who is primarily served, or are you going to be someone who serves and blesses other people in this life? All right? So are we immediately dismissing, or is there anything else? Okay, then let me pray and then we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we glorify you that you are so beautiful, that you are love, and that you served us, and that you have created us in your image to be a people who come together in families and in friendships and in communities. Thank you, God, that you have made us beautiful in the same way that you are beautiful. God, as we go back into our lives, open our eyes to the ways we interact with others. Show us the areas that we are being poor recipients of others' service. Show us the areas where we could serve others better. Thank you, God, for making us to be such wonderful, beautiful people. In your name, Jesus, amen.